Kitchen. Don't worry about that. That's not going to happen. Daniel chapter 3. Well, that's way too high, bud. Daniel chapter 3, please. When you got missionary presentations and missionary specials over by the piano, and then pulpit mics, and then lapel mics, and it's still too high, bud. Boy, it's... The sound man gets a workout. Amen. Yeah, and that's good. Amen. We'll give him a raise. Yeah, he gets a raise next week, I promise. Amen.
Raise him off the
street. Yeah, he gets to sit in a higher chair. Yeah. All right, I've got tons of bumper stickers, but I think I'm going to get to the message here. Daniel chapter 3. Let me begin reading. Stand with me one more time, please. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. By the way, that's 90 foot tall. And Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, he told them they were just coming to a dedication. That's all he told them. Now, we're going to have a building dedication here in a few months, and I mean, I know we put it back a little bit, but it's not going to be anything like this dedication. But you understand how, right off the bat, we see how deceitful he is. He told them, hey, let's just come dedicate this image. But when they got there, in verse 3, let's look at it. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image. They stood there. They didn't know why they were there. They stood before the image, verse 4. Then, once he got them there, look now, this is how the devil works. Once he got them there, a herald cried aloud, to you it's commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now wait a minute, I just came here to dedicate this thing. I didn't come here to fall down and worship it. But now the devil's got you where he wants you. And he says in verse 6, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, a fiery furnace. Now, the devil didn't tell, Nebuchadnezzar didn't tell them all that before they got there.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is not the message tonight, but the devil doesn't tell you the whole story. And he gets you where he wants you to be, and then he tells you what he's going to do with you.
Yeah.
He is a snake, amen. He is a lion. He's a devouring, deceiving snake, a dragon, the Bible calls it. But tonight I want to preach to you on a different thought, and I'm going to preach you from this message, from this passage here tonight, on making much of God's glory.
Amen.
Making much. We do not make enough of God's glory. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight, Lord, in this service here. We've sung praises, Lord God. We've laughed. We've fellowshipped. We've prayed, Lord God. We've given our tithes and offerings. But Lord, now we come to this so important part of the service, Lord, the preaching of this precious book. God, use me, fill me with your spirit. Lord, I know that this can be a help and a blessing to your people. I pray this would be, Lord God, from your spirit, through me, without me getting involved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Making much of God's glory. In the Bible, Babylon represents the place of backsliding. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. Egypt, you remember, Egypt is the type of the world where we were before we got saved, okay? Babylon is also a type of the world, but listen now, it's where God's people end up when they rebel against God after salvation, okay? Egypt is by birth, Babylon is by choice. Get that? No, but remember now, they're both places of captivity.
Yeah, right.
They were both places of captivity. Now remember, Babylon got its name from Babel, the Tower of Babel, the beginning of idolatry.
Yeah.
The beginning of idolatry back in Genesis chapter 11. This happened, remember, after God had saved Noah. Okay? excuse me. After God had saved Noah and saved his family, and then he told him to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Amen. And now, but instead though, Noah's great grandson, a boy by the name of Nimrod, built a tower called Babel. They decided to do things their way after God had saved them, after God had delivered them, after God had rescued them. They decided to do things their way. They united themselves against God. They went away from God and His will for their lives. They went away from God's word. That is what we call apostasy and idolatry combined. To go away from God always leads you into idolatry. Because when you go away from worshiping and making much of God's glory, you're going to go worship and serve something or somebody else. And that's what apostasy will always lead to, idolatry. That is backsliding, church, going away from God and then finding myself worshiping something else. That's what backsliding is. That's what we're talking about. When this happened, now listen, when this happens, God no longer gets any glory from my life. When this happens, my life no longer glorifies or acknowledges God's majesty, worships, and prays. No longer. The beginning, listen, the beginning, don't miss this, the beginning of all backsliding is when we make little of God's glory. The beginning of all, I'm going to say it again, the beginning of all backsliding is when we see God's glory as if it's just really not that big a deal. You're backsliding if that's the case. The God's glory just doesn't really concern us that much, or maybe concern us anymore like it used to. That's the beginning of all backsliding. Individuals can backslide into Babylon, and they do all the time. But listen to me, so can nations, according to the Bible. Nations, in this case, the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, was in Babylon here in Daniel chapter 3. God had turned his people over to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, because of their apostasy, because they had abandoned God and they had turned their back on his word. And so God had turned them over to their own lust, and now they're living in Nebuchadnezzar as captives, as slaves. Listen to me, when a nation ends up in Babylon, there will be individuals, however, who don't belong there, who did not want to be there. They are victims of their parents' rebellion. Right? They're victims of their parents. Some of you have children I have children who have rebelled against God, who have turned away from God. And listen to me, if, God forbid, if they grow up and they begin to have families of their own, those children are going to be victims of the apostasy of their parents. That's how it works. When a nation ends up in Babylon, there are victims there of generations of sin and rebellion, and that's where we pick up our three Hebrew men in Daniel chapter 3. They are in Babylon, listen, because of their parents. They're in Babylon because they have been in Babylon since childhood. It was no choice of their own. They were taken captive as children because they were part of the nation of Judah who had, like I said, turned against God. Look in chapter 1 of Daniel. Chapter 1 of Daniel, beginning in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that's the southern kingdom of Israel, and came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. He surrounded it like we talked about the other night. He took it over and just basically waited them out. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. God did this. Okay? Listen, you can only mock God so long before he takes action. Yeah. You can only turn your back on God so long, and before he chastens you and even turns you over to captivity and sin in the world. You think you're bigger than that? You think you're bigger than God? You're just not thinking straight. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the what? Children of Israel, and the king's seed, and of the princes. Now, we're not going to read them, but that's where these three, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're just children. They're just children brought into captivity because of their parents rebelling, generation after generation rebelling against God. So here in chapter 3, if you go back where we were, in chapter 3 we find these young men who now had grown up in Babylon. This was about 23 years later than chapter 1, chapter 3, about 23 years or so have transpired, and they've learned the ways of Babylon. They know the language by now. They know the customs, they know the styles, amen, that they know the attitudes, they know the way of life, they know the idolatry, they know Babylon, they've grown up there. But listen, but it was no choice of their own. They were there because they had to be, not because they wanted to be. They were there as a result of their nation's sinful rebellion, but they were still there right in the middle of it all. As a nation tonight, I want you to, I'm trying to make some parallels here if you're listening. As a nation, America has abandoned God. As a nation, our country, our rulers and leaders of our country, they talk about God when it's Christmas time, and they talk about God, amen, when it's Easter time, and they have nice little speeches and spiels, but amen, they're not following God. They're not living after God's word and following God's commandment. They're not doing that. Our nation and its leadership has abandoned God and His righteousness and His word. America worships many things. But listen, but very few Americans really worship God. Oh, I didn't say they didn't go to church. I didn't say they didn't go to church once in a while. But as a nation, listen, America was a much more righteous and godly nation 50 years ago. Churches like this were the norm.
Yeah.
Churches like this that stood up and preached that old King James Bible and spit a little bit and got loud a little while and just enjoyed church, amen, and preaching, this was the norm. These churches were full.
That's right.
But a nation has gone further and further away from our God. But understand something, but we're still here.
Amen.
Amen.
We're still here. I'm not here because I have to be. I mean, I'm not here because I want to be. I'm here because I have to be. God's left me here.
Amen. Amen.
I'd much rather just be in heaven.
Amen.
I'd much rather just be in heaven. I don't know who it was, earlier this afternoon, when people just, like, it was like 10 till 5 and nobody was here for the 5 o'clock Bible study. And I said, man, there must have been a partial rapture. I don't want to take the second train, amen. I want to go first. I want to go now. I'm ready to go, amen. I'm ready to be in heaven, but I'm not. And neither are you. Neither are we yet. I'm not here by choice. I'd much rather be in heaven, but regardless of that, I am right in the middle of this mess. And so are you.
Yes, sir.
So are we. So these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, find themselves right in the middle of this mess, and that's where we're going to kind of focus tonight. What can we learn from these three Hebrew young men? Number one, the majority is bowing down. The majority of our nation is bowing. Look in chapter 3, verse 4. The herald cried aloud to you as commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimers, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the golden image Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. And whoso falleth not down, worship it, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a fiery, burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all, what's that say? All the people?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big majority. All the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music. I really don't know why God lists that music over and over again. Every time you read this chapter, I wonder, Lord, why did you have to list those instruments over and over and over again? But anyway, what is a sackbut? Anyway, that's another story. But psaltery and all kinds of music. All the people, look at verse 7. All the people, the nations and the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image the king had set up. We have to understand something, dearly beloved. We're in the middle of this right now. We're in the middle of this right now. Our nation has turned its back on God. Our nation has turned its back on this book. Our churches have turned their backs on this book. They don't want to preach the Bible anymore. They just want to tell stories. They just want to go to another version, their own idea of who God should be. And we're right in the middle of this. We're going to have to understand right off the bat, the vast majority of this world is bowing down.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to, we're just going to have to get used to that. We're just going to have to, and listen, I expect it from lost people, obviously. I'm not talking about lost people, though, tonight.
No.
I'm talking about many of God's people are doing the same thing. Listen to me. These were not the only three Jews in that crowd.
Right.
These were not the only three Jews in that crowd. These were not the only three children in that crowd that had grown up in Babylon. They were not. Now, we don't know where Daniel was. There's speculation. We say, well, Daniel was, remember the Bible says he was right next to the king. I mean, the king had already elevated him right up next to the king. And so maybe he was sitting over there with the king, not able to do anything, not expected to bow down because he was, maybe he was on a trip somewhere. Maybe he was out of town. Maybe he was bowing down.
Mm-hmm.
So that couldn't be. That's Daniel. I don't know. I don't know where Daniel was. But understand something. Everybody says all people. Everyone that had come there that day were bowing down.
Yeah.
The pressure was enormous.
Right.
The pressure is enormous. Sure. This was a massive crowd. Therefore, today, listen, today the pressure is just as bad. Today the pressure, listen, there are far more of God's people bowing down than are not.
Yeah.
Far more. With every generation, it's getting worse and worse.
Yes, sir.
I preached a message a few years ago about this this thought here, and I preached a message entitled Pressure Points. There was a lot of pressure points facing these young men. How about number one, the possibility pressure? The possibility that went, the things that went through their mind, that is a 90-foot image. That is a very big golden image. What if they're right? Don't tell me you haven't thought that. What if we really don't need to stand for this King James Bible? What if we really don't need this kind of preaching? What if we really don't need to be separated? What if we really don't need to dress like women and men like men? I mean, that's really a big, the pressure is enormous. I mean, it is a huge idol, 90 foot tall. I mean, they couldn't even see the head of that thing, and it's in the clouds. So the possibility, and we're just human like they were, the possibility goes through their mind, well, what if they're right? Then there's the pressure of peer pressure, just plain old peer pressure. Everybody else is doing this.
Right.
How can I be so different? Why am I? Who do I think I am? You know, so on and so forth. The pressure is enormous. How about the political pressure? I mean, this was the king.
Right.
Political pressure. Hey, they have legalized same-sex marriage, so we got to accept them, right?
Come on.
We got to bow down to them, right?
No. Come on, brother. Preach it.
Is it coming home now yet? Is anybody listening to me here tonight? The political pressure. Hey, the White House says it's okay. The Supreme Court says it's okay. It's legalized marijuana.
Yeah.
Alcohol's been legal for a long time, dearly beloved.
Yeah.
And now, hey, Baptist preachers aren't preaching against it anymore. Uh-huh. They used to.
Yeah, they
have.
Come on.
I mean, we used to preach against cigarettes.
Right.
But the pressure is enormous. I mean, it's legal now, so it must be okay. Wrong.
Right.
Our nation has turned its back against God, and the politicians have said it's okay. That doesn't make it right with God.
Yes.
But the political pressure is real. The possibility pressure is real. The peer pressure is real. Hey, how about the pocketbook pressure?
Yeah.
That's why most people vote the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because they can get more money. They vote for baby killers and sodomites because they can get more money.
That's right.
And I'm telling you what, I don't care. I'm not going to fall for that.
That's right.
Literally or figuratively. The fact is, there's a lot of pressure in that plain of Dura that day.
Right.
There was a whole lot of pressure on those three young boys, just like there is today. I mean, people come in here to this church and they sit around here and they look at me and they hear me preach and then they kind of look at me cross-eyed when I say something that they don't like. Or they walk out and they never come back. The pressure is, you know, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have preached that. I didn't like that. And then all I'm doing is preaching what God says.
Amen.
All I'm doing is preaching what the Bible says. And it used to be okay, but now the pressure is that's not what I want anymore. I don't want to hear that anymore. And on and on and on. And so, listen to me. We're going to have to realize that the majority is bowing down.
Right.
Yeah.
This ain't new. This has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
Can I say something to you? It's no small thing to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image.
Yeah.
We seem to think we can just bow down to keep the peace, and then get up and go on with life. I'm going to do everything I can to get through this tonight, but I've got about 6 or 7 points here. So y'all just let me do the best I can. If I don't finish, I don't finish. But we seem to think we can just bow down in certain areas of our lives, but still serve the Lord in the other areas. Right? We're just going to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar when it comes time to give our tithes and our offerings.
Come on.
I know it's going to get quiet. It's okay. But you're not serving God if you're withholding His money from His church that you belong to. You're bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar when the offering plate comes around, and then you're going to stand back up and go out of here like you're okay with God. See, that's no big deal. That's just one area of my life. That's how Baptists are starting to think. I guarantee you there was people there that day who did bow down to that image, but they weren't going to stay there and worship Him the rest of their lives. They were just doing it to keep the peace. They were just doing it to keep the pressure off of them. They were just doing it because it was more comfortable, because it was easier. And by the way, brother, that's a coward. Look me in the eyeball. That's a coward. That's a coward. I'm just going to do this so everybody else doesn't think I'm weird, and then I'm going to go on with my life. That's a coward, y'all. The Bible says, listen to me, the Bible says, look in verse 5. And at what time you hear all of those instruments again, and all kinds of music, fall down, and what's it say? Worship. Now, wait a minute, what if they just fell down for just 3 minutes or so, just until the king got over it and they went back into life? What are they doing? Remember the definition of worship is to lower yourself in the presence of someone else, to humble yourself. In the the Bible says they were worshiping that image, but they said, "Well, preacher, I'm not worshiping God. I'm not worshiping the devil. I'm just disobeying God for now." What?
Come on, preacher. Come on.
The Bible says that it's worship when you bow down, whether it's for 2 seconds or 20 years. It's worship.
That's right.
I know this is not going to be popular, but listen to me. If you bow down for 2 seconds when you do what you want to do at work, amen, you dress like you want to dress, you wear what you want to wear, you say what you want to say, you listen to what you want to listen, but then you come to church, I'm serving God. No, you're not.
That's right.
You're giving in to the pressure.
Amen.
You're giving in to the pressure. The Bible says it. Listen, I knew you were going to get quiet on me, but the Bible says it's worship when I bow down to Him. They were not bowing down to Him because they loved Him. They were bowing down to Him because they were afraid. And that's the pressure. Fear. The Bible says it's worship. The Bible calls, look at verse 12. There are certain Jews when thou hast sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast sent. Now God's calling it serving. See, we think it's okay. We're just going to bow down in this one area. We're just going to bow down this one time. When I get around my family, I'm not going to act like a Christian. I'm not going to look like a Christian. I'm not going to put God first around my family because, I don't want them to think I'm weird. But I'm going to serve the Lord when I'm not there. You are bowing down. You are serving their gods.
That's right. Amen.
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 Listen, what you do with that is between you and God, but that's what the Bible says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, no man can serve two masters. You can't bow down and serve that image when it's too much pressure and then get up and serve God. No man can do that. It's impossible. You either love the one and hate the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This was mammon. You know, mammon is money. They were afraid for their lives. They were afraid that Nebuchadnezzar was going to take away what they had. They were afraid that they were going to lose something. Are you listening to me tonight? They were afraid. They bowed down. They worshiped. They served that image out of fear. And listen to me, the majority of this world is doing that. Some of you are doing that right now. That's why you're getting so quiet on me. But you know what? I'm not stopping.
Amen. Come on.
I'm not changing. You can stay here or you can leave. I'm not changing.
Amen.
Because I do not want to bow down to that image. I refuse to worship that image and serve that image and then call myself a Christian. You can't do that. You can't have it both ways, y'all. I'm sorry. But you're going to have to understand and realize the majority is bowing down. And it is a great amount of pressure to see that and be around that every day in this nation. Every day, everywhere I go. I should be able to preach this in this church without any pressure, but some of you aren't liking this. I've got to face it in my own church. That's okay. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to let God be glorified. And you ought to thank God for a preacher who will glorify God before he bows down to you. Because if you had a preacher that bowed down to you, you'd have a wimpy coward and you need to get out of that church. The majority is bowing down. And it's no small thing, y'all.
Right.
It's no small thing. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve."
Right.
See, Jesus, he knows. Listen, when you bow down, you're worshiping and you're serving.
Yep.
Right.
Him, the devil.
Yep.
But Jesus said, when you bow down and worship, you cannot do it. You can only serve God. Thou shalt not worship. Thou shalt only worship God, and him only shalt thou serve. You can't have it both ways. You're not glorifying God when he knows you're bowing down in that area of your life. When he knows you're bowing down in your finances, in your marriage, in your mind, in your thoughts. He knows you're bowing down. He knows that, guys. He sees that. And when you try to act like you're okay, you're not okay. It's him that sees it. And he's not glorified out of a life that bows down to that image, whether it be 2 seconds or 20 years. You're not glorifying God.
Yep.
These men were making much of God's glory. They were not going to glorify Nebuchadnezzar. They were not going to glorify this image. And that's what I'm trying to get across to us this morning, this evening. We can't do both.
Right.
And they knew that. You understand, all they had to do, Brother Chris, was bow down so that Nebuchadnezzar would get off their backs and go on with life. But they didn't make so little of God's glory. They knew that will not glorify my God. That will not make my God happy. That will not exalt him to where he rightfully needs to be. And they knew that. And their lives. But don't forget where they had grown up, y'all. Don't forget everything that they were in the middle of this every day of their life, just like we are. Remember when I came. Remember the introduction to the message. They grew up. They knew everything about this culture. They belonged there. Everybody knew that. But they were not going to bow down, even though they were right in the middle of that. And you don't have to either. You notice they didn't get self-righteous about it. I want you to understand, I'm not talking about getting self-righteous about it. I'm talking about just refusing to do it. And refusing to even be a part of it. Refusing to be around it. Refusing to even identify with that crowd. I'm not going to do it. Next. Number one, the majority of the world is bowing down, even God's people. Number two, this is just a brief, by the way. The music of Babylon is made to make people bow down. I said the music of Babylon, I'm not going to read all that again, the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the music, those all kinds of music fall down and worship. That was a trigger for them. It still is.
Yes, sir.
It still is today. You're listening to the world's music, you are bowing down.
Yep.
Country music is of the devil.
Yep.
Rap music is of the devil.
Yes,
rock and roll is of the devil.
Yes,
easy listening jazz, it's of the devil.
Yes,
it's the world's music. It came from the world. It came out of Satan's pits of hell. It's not from God. It's not from a godly heart of surrender to the Lord. It's the world's, it's Babylon's music, and you will bow down. That's probably your problem to begin with. You need to turn that junk off and get a hold of some godly music, because Babylon's music is made to make you bow down.
That's why
the devil's got that. Listen, the people of this world, they know that. It's not a secret to the music writers of the world. They know that music influences your mind. They know that music influences your behavior. They know that, but we act like we're idiots. We act like we just well, that's not true. We're just refusing to believe it because it appeals to our flesh. It doesn't make you more spiritual. It doesn't draw you closer to God to listen about somebody drinking and boozing and fornicating. It doesn't draw you closer to God. It draws you further away from God with every beat of the drum.
Amen.
That music is made to draw you away. It's made to draw you away. And you cannot glorify God. Every time you turn that junk on, you are bowing down. And that's why you're not growing. That's why you get angry when the preaching gets a little bit hot. Because you're bowing down. You're bowing down. Hey, isn't it amazing though, today, churches are playing that junk in church.
Yeah, come on.
Ooh, I never thought about that. Well, the devil did.
Oh yeah, come on.
Churches today have bands and rock and roll and drums and electric guitars, and they call it Christian rock. Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous. Well, they mention Jesus' name. I don't care. They can mention Jesus' name all day long. Satan mentions Jesus' name too. I'm not going to go to his house for Thanksgiving.
Come on.
They got churches today with disco lights and bands and long-haired hippie queers up there singing about Jesus. And they're calling it church. And the world is just flocking to it. I wonder why.
Come on, preach.
I wonder why. Because our nation is gone from God.
Yes, sir.
Turn their backs.
Yes, sir.
And if you're listening to that junk, you're right there with them.
Yeah.
You're right there with them.
Yeah.
Number three. Making the world angry is not always bad. I'll look in verse 8. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. By the way, the devil's the accuser of the brethren. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sack, but see this every time, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down. In verse 11, and whoso falls not down and worshipeth that, he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar already knew that. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province, and Shadrach, Meshach, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. That's right, they haven't. They serve not thy gods, that's right, nor worship the golden image without set up. Look in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury. Now, we've got this idea today that we're supposed to make everybody happy if we're a Christian. I'm supposed to make everybody happy. We're listening to the devil's crowd, and they're talking about love, 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 love. Okay, but yet their life does not honor God. Their lips do not honor God. Their ways are ungodly, unrighteous, and of this world. They are sensual, devilish, and they are evil. But yet they're talking about love, 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 love. And yet you stand up and you preach against sin, and they will curse you to your grave. Love? Love? That's the love crowd that's cursing you. That's the love crowd. I hate you, independent fundamental back. That's the love crowd that's saying that. Boy, talk about two sides of a coin. Talk about self-righteous hypocrites. See, we think that being a Christian means make everybody love us. Where did we get that?
Yeah.
We didn't get that from God.
That's right.
Amen. We didn't get that from the Bible. The Bible says, listen, that they made Nebuchadnezzar furious. They made Nebuchadnezzar furious.
Right.
Furious. Angry. See, we're swallowing the bait, amen, that Satan's putting in front of us, that we've got to love everybody and make everybody love us. We are not called here to make the world happy.
Amen.
We're called here to preach the gospel.
Amen.
We're called here, listen to me, to honor God, to live for God, to glorify God. These men made much of glorying and glorifying God. They made much of God's glory, and they didn't, listen to me, they didn't care who got furious at them. This was not just a little man. This was the king of the world at that time, Nebuchadnezzar. This is a picture of Satan, and Satan was furious. And they were not doing anything wrong. As a matter of fact, they were doing everything right. Making the world angry is not always bad. We don't live to make them angry. I know that. We don't live to make them angry. We don't try to make them angry. We don't try to be contrary on purpose just to see if we can get a rise out of them. But we do honor and glorify God. And when that happens, listen to me, a person who does not love God, who does not honor God, who does not want to honor God, is going to be convicted and going to be angry, and they're not always going to be happy with you. But that doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't mean you did something wrong. But all that is another point of pressure. Pressure, pressure. Well, I can't make anybody upset with me. They're not going to honor God if that's true. Listen to me. You let God worry about that.
Amen. Amen.
You honor God.
Right.
I can't make everybody happy. I can't even make this little bit of people. I can't even make all of you happy. I can't even make my wife happy every day. I try. But you know, one day she's happy, one day she's not. And I'm the same, I never change. Oh boy, I gotta go repent now. I better go pray now. But I can't make everybody happy. You can't make everybody happy. Live to glorify God. Are you getting the point? That's the point of this whole message. Live to glorify God. Even if the whole world's bowing down, you live to glorify God. Live to glorify God. Even if people are getting furious and angry at you, listen, if in your heart, if you know, I'm glorifying God right here. All they did was stand up. All they did was refuse to give in to the pressure. All they did was stand up and stand out in a very large crowd of people. They made people angry, but that's not bad when you're glorifying God.
Yeah.
Next, if more men would stand, more would be accomplished. These were three men. They weren't three ladies. Now listen, I'm not saying anything, but these men were men. I promise you there was ladies out there. What I'm saying to you is that if more men would stand, this has nothing to do with ladies, I'm talking to you men right now, if more men would stand, America would be a greater nation. If more men would have not fallen to the pressures and catered to the pressure of Nebuchadnezzar, if more men 50 years ago would have just kept standing in the pulpits and preaching the Bible and preaching against sin, and where are the John R. Rices? Where are the Jack Howes? Where are the Curtis Hudsons? Where are they? They're not standing anymore. They're not standing anymore. They're smiling, that's all they're doing. They're not standing. They're not preaching. If more men would stand, more would be accomplished. These were men that stood, and I believe that's an important point to point out here. Families would be a lot stronger if more men would stand. Companies would be a lot stronger if more men would stand.
Amen.
Churches would be a lot stronger if more men would just stand.
Amen.
Fewer churches would be closing if more men would stand.
Amen.
Fewer churches would be so liberal. You know the charismatic churches are growing leaps and bounds. And they're completely led by women. Completely. completely led by women. Why? Because women looked around and said, yep. Well, nobody else is leading. Somebody's got to do this.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't find a man. Ezekiel, God said, I searched for a man to stand in the gap before me, and I found none, he said. I ain't found one in all the nation of Israel. Listen, where are we at today, man? Men would stand and just have a backbone and just let God be God and glorify God with their lives. Listen to me. It may not be popular. It's not going to be popular, but it would make a difference because God would be glorified.
Yeah, that's right,
brother. Amen. I'm very thankful for the men in this church.
Amen.
I'm not just saying this so you can give me a raise, amen. I'm very thankful for the men in this church. My wife and I talked years ago when I first started this church. My wife and I told her, I talked to her. She's my wife. You ought to do that, man. And I told her, I said, honey, God would just give me some men. Just give me some men. And that's what we need. We need some men. And God just began to give me some men. It didn't give them to me, you understand? But just God brought you here to this church. And listen, and God wants to do something with you men, through you men in this church, to make this church, if this church is going to be what it's supposed to be, it's going to take men standing up here and out there for God's glory, making much of God's glory. You know how exciting it is to see Max and Evan and these young guys and Chris and Samuel and boy, the UNT students are coming to church, amen, and they're hearing preaching like this, and you know what they're doing? They're saying, wow, I didn't think this existed anymore.
Amen.
Because it doesn't hardly.
That's right.
And, but there's still something in the heart of a man that says, you know what, that's right, I'm going to do that, I'm going to stand up.
Amen.
God made a man like that.
Amen.
It's exciting to see those UNT guys coming in and visiting. Now, I know they're going for Christmas and all that, but man, you don't understand. That's good stuff.
Amen.
Young men are coming to church and they say, wow, this is great. And now I'm praying that they'll get back and get in here and get going forward. But you understand, if more men would be like, more men would stand, those men would have somebody to follow.
Yeah, that's right.
But they don't. That's why they're so shocked when they come here. If more men would stand, much more could be accomplished for God.
Amen.
God's glory is what I'm talking about. Next. Many times, more glory for God, listen now, will require the fire first.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is why we're where we're at. Look in verse 29.
Yep.
Verse 29 says, here's Nebuchadnezzar. Well, let's read 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Wow. Now, wait a minute. That's a king who was cursing everything but his God.
Yeah.
And demanding that everybody bow down to his God. Listen, verse 28 is what it means for God to get more glory.
Yeah. Amen.
Now look at verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree that this is the king of Babylon. Every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. Wow, are you kidding me? Look at all the glory God just got in those two verses.
Amen.
Look at all the glory God just got. I mean, the king of Babylon is praising God.
That's right.
Could you imagine?
Praise.
The king of Babylon. Can you imagine if our White House and our government actually got to a point anywhere near that?
Yeah, come on.
Wouldn't it be nice if every church literally had a pastor who believed that right there?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Wouldn't it be nice if every home had a daddy who believed that right there?
Amen, brother.
Men?
Amen.
That's the definition. That's an example of God getting more glory. You understand that, right? When Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what this is talking about. That's what's happening right here. Now Nebuchadnezzar has seen these men's good works, and he now is glorifying their Father, God in heaven, right? You see that, right? Well, God is being praised and honored by the devil himself. Wow. But listen to me. It wasn't until after the fire.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Yep. Amen.
At the beginning of our chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is saying, everybody bow down to my image. At the beginning of our chapter, everybody is bowing down to his. And he's getting all the glory.
Right.
He's getting all the praise. He's getting all the worship. At the end of the chapter, God is getting it all.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what changed it? Listen to me. The fire.
Amen.
The fire. See, in between Nebuchadnezzar getting all the glory and God getting all the glory, these boys went through the fire.
Right.
Not around it.
Amen.
Right. Not around it.
Amen.
There was no other motive behind this except God be glorified.
Amen.
God be glorified.
Yeah.
They said to Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm paraphrasing Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in these things. He said, our God is able to deliver us.
Amen.
What's that? Glorifying God.
Amen.
And then they said, but if not, we're not going to bow down to your image.
Amen.
What's that? Glorifying God.
Amen.
They were not worried about money. They were not worried about popularity. They were not worried about friends or family or fame or fortune. They were worried about God's glory. They said, King, we're not going to bow down to your image. The only reason they did that is because they wanted God to be glorified. All of this was done for God's glory. Listen to me. And God still put them through the fire.
Right.
See, preacher, the fire didn't hurt. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? It won't hurt you either.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's good.
It won't hurt us either. We'll get right back out of that fire on the other side, and somebody will glorify God.
Amen.
However, let's just play pretend. We went to the lunch with the missionaries this morning, and boy, they had those two little girls, remember? Jalen and Jasmine, thank you. Jalen is the 2-year-old, I think. Two, four, 6, 8. Who do we preach? And she's 2 or 4. She's the older one. Okay, the little one is, I think. Anyway, I don't remember. But they were cute as a button, man. And we went to lunch with them. And after we got finished eating, the older one was playing with 2 packets of honey or something. And she was like, I'm eating a sandwich. And I said, whoa, where's the bread? And she said, well, let's just pretend. I was like, oh, yeah, of course, I know that. Dummy. What are you, a pastor or something? And I said, oh, yes, just pretend, of course, I'm a dummy. So let's just pretend for a second here. Okay, look, can you do that with me? We'll go back to 2 or 2 or 4 or whatever she is. We'll go back to our little childhood days and we play make-believe. Let's just pretend, right? Let's just pretend they saw everybody bowing down and they did it. They went ahead and did it. Let's just pretend that happened. What glory would God have gotten from that?
Yeah.
A big, fat zero. A big, you know what a donut hole is? Nothing. Zero. No glory at all. You know how this chapter would have ended? Nebuchadnezzar would have kept glorifying himself.
Yep.
And his image.
That's right.
But these men said, listen, I don't know who else is doing this. I don't know what this is going to cost me. I don't know what everybody else is going to think about me. I do know that fiery furnace is very hot. And well, by the way, when the herald said the same hour, in other words, that means that furnace was already ready.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if I know the devil, which I don't know him, I don't want to know him any more than I have to, but if I know the devil, I guarantee you they could see that fiery furnace.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how he works. He preys on your fears.
Right. Yes.
And he says, okay, if you don't bow down, fine. See that fire over there?
Uh-huh. Come on. That's right.
Smell that smoke?
Mm-hmm.
You get too close to that, go feel that heat. Go ahead, don't bow down. And see that fire? That same hour, this, as soon as you don't bow down, we're not going to delay. We're going to put you in there now.
Right.
I guarantee you had it out there. They could see it. Right. It was ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they would have just bowed down, they would have never gone through the fire. If they would have just bowed down, they would have never had to worry about how much it was going to burn. If they would have just gone through the fire, I mean, bowed down, they would have never had to worry about anything except God's glory. Are you getting the point?
Amen.
This year in our church, there's some of you need to stop bowing down.
Amen.
I believe there's probably areas in all of our lives.
Yeah.
At least one, if not several, in all of our lives, including that, I'm not going to bow down anymore.
Yeah.
I am not going to bow down anymore. And that thing that you're thinking, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That's what God's talking about. Because every time you do, oh no, you know, nobody knows about it, right? I mean, you just kind of blend it. They would have just blended in with the whole rest of the crowd. But God would have not been glorified. The end of the chapter is a perfect example of what this theme is this year. God is God, and He is able to deliver His servants who have yielded themselves to Him. That's what Nebuchadnezzar... I mean, this is Nebuchadnezzar. But it wasn't without the fire first, y'all. It wasn't without first going through the fire. There's going to be fires this year. There already has been, and it's only the sixth. There's going to be fires this year, just like there were last year. But every time you refuse to bow down, you may not win popularity prizes. You may not get a raise. You may not have anybody pat you on the back. But God,
amen,
is glorified.
Amen.
And I say the best point for last, I don't know what number it is now, 6 or 7 or 12 or something like that, but lastly, here's the secret, okay? Can I give you the secret?
Come on.
You want to know the key? More bowing down to God will result in less bowing down to Satan.
Absolutely.
Look in chapter 2 now, right before this, chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. Well, remember, I'm going to give you some background here for sake of time. The king said, tell me my dream, tell me what it meant, or you're going to die. Remember that? And Daniel said, wait, give me a minute here. And I'll tell you, king, I'll tell you. Verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. King, give me some time. Okay. Notice what Daniel said in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's their Jewish names, his companions, that they together would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. What happened there is Daniel found out that all of the wise men of the land are going to die. And Daniel said, King, give me a little time. Listen to me, church. The first thing he did was he went home and he told his brethren, let's pray.
Amen. Yeah. Try.
Let's pray. when the Bible says they sought the mercies of God, that they prayed.
Amen.
They got on their hands and knees and they bowed before God.
Amen.
And then God gave them the answer. They saw the power of God. They glorified God. Listen, and then when Nebuchadnezzar pulled his shenanigans with the image and the fiery, smoky, burning furnace, guess what? They had bowed enough to God that they knew, no way.
Yeah.
If you would learn this last point, if you could just, you may have forgotten everything else because you got angry at me or something, but if you'll just learn this last point, you'll glorify God more.
Amen.
The last point is this. The more I bow before God,
yes,
the less I'm going to bow before Satan.
Amen. Good. Amen.
What made them so different? I just showed you. They were living in the middle of Babylon, Brother Chris. They were living in the middle of Babylon. They'd grown up in this. They were not there by choice, but they were still there. Hey, listen, but they didn't stop bowing to God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen.
See, they've been through other fires already. The king was going to kill them. And what they did, they prayed. God delivered them. Guess what he did that day in the fiery furnace? They prayed. God delivered them.
Amen.
You see, if you'll just learn to bow to God more,
amen,
you'll stop making a fool of yourself. You'll stop making a fool of your family. You'll stop making a fool of your church every time the devil puts a big old overwhelming temptation in front of you. You'll stop making a fool of God and you'll stand. We need to make much of God's glory this year.
Yeah.
I told you one of those bumper stickers was, a lot of kneeling will keep you in good standing. A lot of kneeling will keep you in good standing. Frances Havergal was a poet. She wrote some songs. Let me read you a poem and we'll be done. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with Thee.
Amen.
Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving Thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness, the glory of Thy face. Another year of service, of witness for Thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year of leaning upon Thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, on earth or else in heaven, another year for Thee. We need to make much of God's glory. And you can't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar and glorify God.
That's right.
Our Heavenly Father, that's the message tonight.